Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wrestling X Factor Radio, your host, Wayne Benitez. And my co-host joining me later is Tommy Two Chips. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. We have a wrestling veteran that been to every wrestling company from WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and MLW, now at Ring of Honor, is one third of the Villain Enterprise, Ring of Honor Team Champions, and also NWA World Tag Team Champions with Brody King. Give it up for TCO.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Welcome to the show.
Yes. Pleasure.
Yes, it's an honor. Yes. Yes. What decision that got you to rejuvenate your character to a sort of like a Frankenstein type of hardcore wrestler?
Yeah, it was since I was 14 years old, you know, I've been, like, making affirmations, you know, every day before going to bed, and had goals, and always wanted to reach some goals and that goal. And for a certain period of time, you know, I was going towards it, and it was going well and everything, and then I kind of hit the rock, you know, somewhere down the road. It went, like, tough, went south, and then went down. And then I was trying to come back at it and come back and come back, and it was just tough. And always, like, something would happen that would never work out the way that I wanted it or envisioned it to work out. And then I kind of let go a little bit in 2011. And I did some TV for TNA. I was on the commentary in French. And then after that, I had people asking me to comment, you know, make comments before or after Raw or predictions and for pay-per-views and things like that. And it got me on channels that were viewed quite a lot, and then Bruce Channels asked me if I wanted to have a wrestling match, and then I did have a match, then another one. And then eventually I got called from someone in the USA, Indiana, Michael Blanton, for Black Label Pro, and got a match against All Ego with Tim Page. And it was January 13, 2018, and I had a great match. Joey Janela was there. Joey Janela asked me if I wanted to be part of the Joey Janela Spring Break 2 against Walter, who just got signed last year for NXT UK. And just had a very crazy, hot, super hot match. You know, the one match in your career that makes a difference sometimes. You have two or three of those matches. I just had one crazy match against Walter. All the elements, all the ingredients to be like a super great match was there. And from there, everybody was talking about the resurrection of PCO. And while I was doing, I was having a resurrection in the ring. By that great comeback, which, by the way, I never stopped, you know, making my affirmation, keeping my eyes on my goal, things like that. So it came around, and then I was just working with my coach, Destro, and I just got out of the straps. It was like a squat machine. I just started walking, and he looked at me and said, "You are Frankenstein. You just, it's you. You're him. You walk like him. You move like him. That's who you are. And you are him." So I just had the match that people were saying that was having a resurrection. And at the same time, I had my coach, a mentor or in the gym that said that I was Frankenstein. So started to do things with, you know, jumper tables and car batteries and vignettes and things like that. And so from one story to the other, it all kind of blended together, and I just became the Frankenstein of professional wrestling. It's all, it's basically just happened by, you know, just pieces of the puzzle were put in front of me day by day, or week by week, or minute by minute, and it was just building up into it, and then that's just the way it happened.
Yes, awesome. Tommy Two Chips, would you like to ask PCO anything?
Yes, for PCO, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
I just want to say, you, whether you know it or not, you are an inspiration and a role model for athletes, you know, around your age and for younger athletes. I mean, you persevered, you kept on going. You just one bad dude, man. You are.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm just working super hard and just pushing the limits all the time, and just trying the best that I could be every day and every night, and always, you know, give everything I've got. And it's just also, I'm having so much fun doing what I'm doing, so passionate about it, that I think that it's all the passion that's coming out of me. And I think that's what it is. It's like, I finally am doing like what I always wanted to do. I'm having the character that I was dreaming of. I'm working for a great company, the great conditions, you know, I've been treated like really good. And the fans have been amazing. It's very engaged with the PCO and everything that I've been doing. So I think all of this transpires and makes me perform the way I do. It's just there's so much coming out of the crowd, the feed off of the people, everything, you know. It's just I'm right on now. I'm on. I feel like every time I lace the boots, I'm on and ready to go.
I saw the G1 Supercard, you know, early this year, WrestleMania weekend, New Japan and Ring of Honor, you know, sold out Madison Square Garden, and you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I was watching you and the other wrestlers, mm-hmm. and I had adrenaline rush, was like on level 10. And how was that? How was that? You know, wrestling at Madison Square Garden and being the first, you know. First wrestling company outside WWE to sell out Madison Square Garden. That had to be a rush one.
Yeah, you know, it was the first time in 54 years that it was a show run there that wasn't from the McMahon family. So that was right there. That was a big, you know, something really special. And, something that everybody or nobody could think that was going to be possible to accomplish, and was done. And for me, Madison Square Garden in New York always been one of my favorite places to wrestle, because I grew up, you know, in Canada watching a lot of hockey and the Rangers, and it's a big rivalry with Montreal Canadiens, and such the most world famous building, you know, for any artist, you know, Elvis Presley or Madonna, or, you know, Metallica, name it, you know, they all have been there. So so prestigious, phenomenal, and be part of that card, which was the Ring of Honor and Japan Pro Wrestling. It was, it topped all my other moments, even my WrestleMania 10 moment with WWE, because like you said, you know, it was like a non-WWE company, and it was sold out, and I probably had like the greatest entrance of my career at that point, and until now. With the electric chair.
The electric chair was crazy.
Yeah, the electricity running through the crowd, to the chair, to the giant wall, you know, and the video wall, and just coming down the aisle. I mean it was like amazing. It was like amazing. This is like goosebumps and my. And it was just crazy, crazy, crazy good moments, crazy good night. It was very, I was very happy. I was really thrilled with it. And I did all my stuff, all my swanton on the apron, my moonsault, my dive on the outside. And I got power bombed, you know, from two guys, the GUD, the New Japan Pro Wrestling, from up into the ring, over the top rope, right on my head on the cement floor. And that was right there. Created such a huge drama in the garden. So I felt like the crowd went through, the fans in the crowd, they went through all sets of emotions. You know, they've been through being happy, to being excited, to being you know, to worry, to, you know, cheering and things like that. So I think when you hit all the emotions of, you know, a public during an event, I think that's a very winning situation. You know, it's something like you feel like you really did entertain your public. You really entertain the crowd, because they were touched on different levels of their emotions. So that's what I like when I'm capable of doing that. And by doing that at the MSG in New York during a WrestleMania weekend, that was ecstatic. You know, that was like absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was great.
Did you meet with, did you hang out? I know there was a lot of stuff going on that weekend, but did you have a chance to sit down a couple of minutes and talk to some stars from New Japan, like some legends like the Great Muta and some current stars like Okada?
I didn't have the chance to talk that much with guys because we had, you know, take care of so much stuff behind the scenes. We had work with the union over there. You can't just have like regular staff, you know, take a lift and bring a chair near the stage and get it by and get things ready. You have to take the union people and work with the union at the garden. And I just wanted to make sure that the chair was going to be there, everything's going to be there. So I just supervised a lot of things, making sure that I was going to have like a proper entrance and that everything was going to go well, and making sure that, you know, since it wasn't guys from our company doing the job, that I could be there to say, hey, don't forget to put this there, and don't forget to, you know, put a nut on the bolt or whatever, you know. So it was one of those days where I was busy behind the scenes the whole day, and I couldn't really trade or exchange with that many talents. So hopefully I'll be able to do that in the future, in the near future.
Awesome. What is like to be in a faction with Marty Scurll, Brody King, and Flip Gordon of Villain Enterprise?
Well, to me right now, it's the most solid faction in pro wrestling. I mean, they're trying sometimes to create other factions, but it doesn't seem like they're lasting or they're getting momentum. It's a great unit because you know, Marty's a great technical wrestler, a pure heel. He's the villain himself. I'm the one who used my own body as a shield or as a weapon, or, you know, willing to sacrifice my own body in order to get the job done. Brody King, big monster, powerful, skillful, talented, and then you have Flip. All the girls are in love with him, and you know, he's got another audience. We all have, like, I've got different audiences because, you know, I did, like, the 60 or the 50 years and over where we're impressed. I've got kids that really like monsters, and they like the monsters that PCO is. And I got, you know, people in their 20s and their 30s that they're very inspired or things like that. But I got my audience. Brody King is like also a singer for a punk band or, you know, hardcore band, and he's got his style, so he's got his audience as well. Marty, he's been in Ring of Honor for a long time, so he brings another type of audience, and Flip brings another range. So the four of us were pretty much covering all kinds of fans. So that's why we're so popular, I think, and that's why we're so successful. And we also complete each other very well, and we got a good chemistry. We all get along good together, so pretty awesome to be part of the greatest faction in pro wrestling right now, 2019.
Awesome. Yes, indeed, a very good faction. What it's like working with the the Briscoe tag team.
Well, it's always fireworks. The Briscoes are so talented. You got Jay, who's he's got so much speed and so much finesse and skills. And then you got Mark, which is a little bit kind of my style. He's willing to sacrifice his body a lot, takes a lot of risk, very, very spectacular, very daredevil. So, for example, me and Brody King were wrestling the Briscoes, it gets very spectacular and it gets very, it worries a lot of people. And it gets ugly as we go at it, and, one way or another, you know. We can go hardcore, we can wrestle, we can fight, we can brawl, can do it all. So being Briscoes is probably one of the top 2-3 tag team in the world right now as far as being able to perform and steal the show night after night. When they both like healthy and they 100% each, they're pretty dominating. They're one of the most dominating tag team in the world. So it's always like a privilege to step in the ring against them.
Also,
how has wrestling changed over the years since you first started? Do you feel that the secrets of pro wrestling has been let out? And do you feel like kayfabe is dead? How do you think the business has changed? Because, you talk to some people who like wrestling legends, like, Jim Cornette and some others. This thing has changed a lot. And what's your opinion? Do you think too many secrets of wrestling has been let out? And do you think kayfabe is dead?
Yeah, big time. I mean, who would think that one day someone would ask a wrestler if kayfabe? You wouldn't even mention the word kayfabe back in the days, you know? You would be like, I don't know, some of the wrestlers would say, hey, you can't say that. Or if I was on the opposite side, I'd say, what are you talking about? You know, I would like kayfabe, you're kayfabe. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't even talk about the kayfabe. Now it's part of the English vocabulary. It's like the times know it. Everybody knows what the kayfabe is, so. If everybody knows what kayfabe is, and if there's so many podcasts, so many TV shows or radio shows about wrestling, it has become like sports like hockey or baseball. And now, sometimes on some shows you have press conference after the show, and journalists are allowed in the dressing room, and you can ask what happened during that certain spot or why did it happen. And it's very well open, much more open than it was. And wrestling itself has changed like times and times and times over the years. I mean, it's 10 times faster than it was. There's now we're stacking power moves on top of power move. We're stacking like finishing what used to be a finishing move. It becomes just a part of a combo to build up towards something where it's going to be even bigger. There you got tremendous sequences or combos, from both guys facing each other that You know, he could get like something like getting German, then he rolls back on his feet, hit the ropes, comes back. The other one, something powerbomb, the guy pops out on his feet, hit the ropes. You know, it's like we're like from ages different of the way that wrestling has evolved. And I think it's all right. Because technology has evolved, the people themselves have evolved, the population, you know, there's no, you know, it's hard to have a bad heel now, or bad guy, because, you know, you can't say, okay, well, someone is a redneck, so he's automatically a heel, or if someone is, let's say, he's got a nationality, you know, from another country. You automatically, before, if you were from a foreign country other than the U.S., you were a heel, you know, by default. Now, you know, a guy like Ilya Dragunov, you know, Dugunov, Dragunov, whatever. Maybe I don't pronounce his name right, but you know, very talented guy from Russia, could be a huge face, you know, or like myself, I'm from Montreal, I'm Canadian, you know, I get ovations, you know, everywhere I go in the crowd, and sometimes we have like, you know, many times, just good guy versus good guy, you know, you have like a few heels, now it's, I think one of the reasons for that is because, you know, everybody's breaking off character while they're doing those podcasts or they're on their Facebook, on their Twitter, on their social media platforms. So people can see through it and they can see, okay, this guy's not such a, you know, a bad guy or a bad girl or whatever. So it's just part of the evolution. So I think the old timers, I think, or the older generations, or the older guy, think they can still like put some sense into young guy's head, into like making sense with the story. But you know, try to organize the match in a better way, but it won't change the way that wrestling is right now. That's where we're at.
Yes, that's they still most companies protect the business to the day also, definitely, and Ring of Honor and New Japan still protects it also, honor it faithfully.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? They protect what?
More of the prestige of wrestling, basically, of treating it more of a, like the
sports
aspect of it as a sport, yeah, more than an entertainment field, basically, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're less theatrical a little bit, more focused on the performance. Yeah, there are a little bit differences there. But
right.
We'll see. Everything is shifting right now. There's so many big players in the game. Everybody's going to try to make sure that they do everything in their power to get momentum, to get the lead, or to get ahead. So it will be interesting to see if everybody will try to keep their niche or if things will change and shift again. I think we're about to see wrestling evolving again for something else and something different. I think we're just around the corner right now. to go see different stuff and different things. And I think we're around the corner right now where wrestling is about to really pop out really big time. It did pop, you know, in 2018. It was some of the golden year age. I mean, for all the indies, it was a big pop out. For some guys also, they popped up big time. WWE kind of went down. So it kind of put an equilibrium between the indies and the WWE. Kind of more on all the same stage now. It's not like where WWE was like way on top of everybody and everybody was way down. All the indie companies and companies like ROH and All Elite now is joining, like, you know, they're growing and
Impact.
And then they're closing the gap a little bit. And so that's why I think we're on the verge to see things going on, because I think Ring of Honor are going to make other moves to really be competitive. And I know they just bought out like 30 Sportsnet TV stations and Fox TV stations. So I know they're going to be really aggressive in 2020 and the end of 2019. They'll be in the race for sure. Can't wait to see how we are going to adjust with the competition, but it will be a feroz, it will be very competitive, very feroz game. So it'll be something else to watch.
Right. And it takes patience, basically. Ring of Honor, I noticed the company, higher-ups, they take patient in the company and build it the right time to grow the company more, to add on to it year by year, basically. And they doing a good job, basically, not to rush everything, basically.
Yeah, and it depends what you want to achieve. You know, if you want to be the company that's going to have the highest rating, but you might be in the red, you might be losing money every night, you know, every year. But if you're in a business because you're a good businessman or you're a good business company, you might not look like you got the best ratings, but you end up at the end of each year with a profit. And I think to stay alive and to be competitive, you have to make profit every year. So if you're losing money for the first 5, 6, 7 years, that's maybe you're going to last 10 years. So, you know, and we've seen it with WCW. You know, they were giving them so much on contracts here and there. And it was good for the boys. It was good for the wrestlers. They were getting huge payoffs. And it was also good because it was protecting the wrestlers, because they had, if it wasn't working somewhere, they had other places to go. When you have only one big player, well, I think everybody's losing. The fans are losing because they get whatever this company decides to give you, or whatever they're deciding that they're going to give you. When you have, like, many companies, the fans are involved and the fans are behind someone, the companies will listen more to the fans than if that company is alone by itself. So it gives, and all the participants, all the wrestlers, they're performing at the max, at the top of their game, because they're trying to impress the fans. And they're trying to be better than the other companies as far as talent. So you're getting a maximum efforts from every wrestler. You're getting a maximum efforts from every promoter. You got the wrestling companies to listen even more to the fans, because they know that at the end of the day, the fans are the boss. And it creates an environment where now the fans are really winning. They're the ones. The fans are winning. It's good for the wrestlers as well. And it's also good for promoters because it forced them to be creative and to create good products and to be, and to get the best things that they can put out every week on every show. So it's a hell of a time to be a wrestling fan.
Do you feel that, I agree with you, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. And you're right, because you mentioned about technology, because of technology and social media, you can see wrestlers from around the world compared to the old days, you just could read the magazines. You know, we just see, you know, who they are in the magazines. Now they're available, like, on YouTube and other places. Do you feel that mixed martial arts was taking away some of the wrestling fans? Because UFC has gotten big over the years.
Yeah, I've gotten big over the years, but also I think for a period of time when UFC really popped out big, I think they were like, it was the same fans watching UFC and WWE at the time. I think they were really competing. I think Vince was really competing with Dana White. But I think right now it's focused not on Dana White anymore. I think now he's got enough, you know, with just wrestling companies around himself that he doesn't focus anymore on MMA. But now I feel more like I personally, I got totally disconnected with the UFC now. When they first popped out on the market, you know, they really made it big. I was really, really into them, you know, what was going on. But now I feel like there's so many events every week, all the time, and there's nothing special anymore. I think the last two times that I've saw something special coming out of the UFC was probably the McGregor and Diaz, one of their fights, when McGregor went up on the class. And, of course, the Mayweather-McGregor, everybody was watching that. And on GSP return against, the guy from England. His name on the tip of my tongue right now. Can't say his name, but I think it was at the Garden in New York. But I think, other than that, right now, with their deal on ESPN, and there's so many things going on left and right. And I think wrestling fans are really into wrestling, and MMA fans are really into MMA. And maybe 20% that are doing both. I don't know. I don't have percentage in front of me. That's my feeling. That's how I feel from me, you know, sitting home. I don't think it hurts. I think it did at one point, but I think now everything is back to normal. And you have to think also that over the years, you know, since the year probably 1950, 60, 70, all the years, there's so much more sports. You know, soccer wasn't big back then.
Right.
Now it's getting bigger. Hockey, I remember, like, in the 90s, nobody knew hockey in the States. Now everybody's talking about hockey. You got basketball now. You got so many other sports, not only the UFC, but not only MMA, but it's so... And let's say you have the 100 channels. Now you got maybe 300 channels, 500 channels, I don't know, maybe 1,000 channels with a box or something. And also before, people were, if they were getting feed up some wrestling on their TV, let's say a Saturday night or a Monday night at 9, well, if they were up in their house and that was the show, that's what they had to watch. Now with the smart TVs and their phone, they can go and get, okay, I'm going to get Ring of Honor, I'm going to get New Japan. Now the people are capable of choosing what they want instead of having to be, you know, the slave of TV to what they've been feeding us. So it kind of fragments the audience a little bit. So it gives the audience more choices. You know, am I the one who's going to watch when it's going to come on the air, or am I going to get on my smart TV and dig for what I want to watch? You know, so that's another game changer in the game, in the business.
Awesome. Yes. I noticed that one of the best matches I've seen you wrestle is still there. You wrestling Bret Hart in WWE a long time ago. That was basically one of the best matches on that pay per view. You still talk to Bret Hart to this day?
I'm not in touch regularly with him. We don't talk, let's say, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis. But I've seen, like, let's say if I go to a convention or I go to, you know, an event and Bret's there, we're going to get together, we're going to talk, we're going to exchange for a while, and we always kept a good friendship between each other. But Bret was another guy that was hanging out that much with a lot of people. He was like the lonely wolf a lot, you know, like he was by himself most of the time. He liked to travel by himself, get his own car, do his own things. But when it was like about a pay-per-view or a good, you know, if he wanted to have like a good solid match, then, you know, could exchange phone numbers. He was really professional about it. He would want to talk, you know, or about things, you know, a few times over the phones and making sure that nothing was going to be left out and everything. He's really professional about his job, you know. So by being really professional about his job, he was a true professional. He's working hard, planned, visualized, he's doing a lot of stuff. That's why he became such a huge champion, because, you know, he's doing stuff that others sometimes don't take the time to do or are not willing to do. And he was willing to get to, like, the extra mile to get everything, you know, sorted out and working in his favor. And I learned so much from him. And we became good friends, and to this day, every time I see him, it's always fun. Always, like, shake hands and hug each other. And it's always cool to see him. But I'm not having, like, regular contact with him.
How do you feel about intergender wrestling? And have you ever, like, wrestled, you know, mixed tag team? You know, or wrestle against a woman before? And if so, how you feel about it? Because some people are, like, mix about it. Some people like it, some people don't.
Well, to be, I'm all for it. I don't care about it. No, I'm not. I think it's got a place on the show. I think it could be very entertaining. But depending how you mix up the voices, like, or, you know, depending on who, what you're building, you know, what you're, you know, like, let's see, you know, like Mariah Monik, you know, she's tall, she's big, she's huge, she's strong. And there's a lot of guys about her size or, you know, smaller than her. And, totally makes sense for her to, you know, squash or, you know, beat up on some guys like that. But if you want to, I mean, there's not any logic about pro wrestling, but, you know, I think, yeah, you can take a girl who's a bodybuilder and she might be stronger than a guy that, you know, is just working in the office every day and doesn't eat that much. But if you go, like, you know, like a sport for sport, I mean, I think a guy this is working out is in tip-top shape should have more hormones in his body than a girl. And very rarely, if you put, like, let's say if you would do intergender hockey, baseball, or MMA, I don't know what would be the percentage of the girls that would make it with the top elite of the guys. So, of course, we're entertainment. It's all about, you know, entertaining people. And I get it. And that's why it makes sense, because we are in the entertainment business. And I can see maybe one day, maybe one girl will be able to play the Major League Baseball, or she'll make it in the NBA, or make it in NHL. Might be one, might be two, but I don't see the day where it's going to be all mixed up. So as far as wrestling goes, I'm all for it. But they have the WNBA in basketball and the NBA. And I don't know, maybe a huge superstar is going to break through one day, and maybe an NBA team would want to sign her. And that'd be something different again, because we're always evolving. So it's just part of the evolution, you know. We can't go against that tide. It's there, it's created, and I think it's there to stay. Or it's going to be a good, it's going to be a tendency for a while, because it's kind of new, and people get a good kick out of it. So I think on some shows it can work out very well. So yeah, I'm all for it.
Awesome. Also, what was it like the work for the Crockett promotion to win their NWA World Tag Team Champs tournament in the Crockett Cup along with it?
Yeah. What was your question?
What was that feeling winning, participating in the Crockett Cup for the first time?
That was really awesome. It was a really good feeling, because for me, what I had in my mind was, okay, the former Crockett Cup winner were Dusty Rhodes, Nikita Koloff, Road Warriors, Sting, and Lex Luger. So it's pretty, like, you know, three prestigious team. And then you add Valen Enterprises, like Brody King, PCO, with those teams, it makes, you know, sounds pretty good to my ears. It's like, you know, a nice song. And also, when I'm looking at the end of the Tag Team Championship belts, I'm thinking right away of the Road Warriors. And they're probably the most popular tag team of all time in pro wrestling. So getting those belts, you know, it's pretty surreal. It's great, you know. So it was quite of a night, you know. It was a tournament all in the same night, you know. You had three matches, go to the final. It was a battle each and every time, you know. But it felt good, you know, when that cup up in the air, and that cup was given up and ended to us by Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff. And
yeah,
it was a great feeling. I mean, it was so sweet. It was so sweet. It was nice.
That was a good tournament. And what's your opinion of the NWA? Because the NWA and Ring of Honor had like a partnership going on. And what's your opinion of Nick Aldis, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion?
Well, you're talking about the fit that they had like a few months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, when NWA decided to, I don't know if they decided to go on their own, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're doing it.
I think it's good for them because, you know, they were like on the Ring of Honor show, but they had, 10, 15 minutes to get their messages across. And it was hard also for Ring of Honor to give time to a company where, I don't know, they could have gave more time to their own talent. So it was hard to share that 15 minute of time, you know, when the show, it's an hour on TV or it's the Hunter Club or whatever. It's just getting tough for Ring of Honor to give that time away where, you know, every wrestler is looking for more minutes and more exposure on your own company, and then you have another company taking some time. It was also tough for NWA because they knew that they had good talents and a good product and a super, like, prestigious belt. And I think it's going to be so much better now that NWA is going to run on their own oxygen and that they're going back to the old studio TV tapings. And I think it's going to be so interesting. And like I said, you know, like they're gonna be another important player there because they're pretty aggressive and they're hungry and they want to succeed and they have like very prestigious belts and very prestigious history to maintain and to continue and that's gonna be super interesting. So. Yeah, that's good. I'm excited for that.
Awesome.
For NWA. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely more. There's so many opportunities, basically, also in this business today. Also, more jobs, more. The guys going to have more talent, going to have more jobs now. It's more opportunities and. And that's the best part of it. With wrestling now, a lot of options to go to.
Yeah, I think they're gonna give a good competition to MLW. I think they're gonna be really. I think they might be just ahead of MLW by the feeling that I've got the way they're gonna work this TV studios and then. Their idea is good where, you know, they want to, you know, keep the big shows for when they're going to have a huge feud and build their feud on the TV show and on the studio. And if they can make that studio look like $1 million, you know, $1 million, I mean, that's going to be awesome. And then the people, you know, that they're going to get in there, they're going to be so wiped up. It's going to be a great atmosphere in the studio. And it's going to give a little bit of that vintage look, you know, retro look. And I think that might get something going. That might start at something that might be catching up the eye of the public. It's going to be interesting to see. They're taking a lot of risk. They're trying something new. Sometimes you have to try things, you know, with a different way than the others are doing, and sometimes it pays off to take risks. So I really admire Billy Corgan for everything that he's doing, and David Laguna. They're really, like, wrestling people, and they got a good champion in Nick Aldis. So, and they just signed up, like, great talent as well. So, they're going to be a big player in the game. So I wish him good luck, a lot of luck.
And how, I might have missed it, or, but how did you get into pro wrestling? I mean, you've been watching wrestling since you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, so you grew up around.
Go ahead.
You grew up around like a Stampede Wrestling in Canada?
Yeah, similar. It's like, I'm from Montreal, and then there was international wrestling here. I don't know if you kind of know what the east, west, or, you know, west of the country, but west is mostly Vancouver and Calgary, and we're quite in the middle, Ontario and Quebec, and then you had also on the near the Atlantic Ocean on the Maritimes, we call it, like Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. They had like Grand Prix wrestling there, Grand Prix wrestling. So it was like Grand Prix wrestling. You had like international wrestling was really, really big. Like international wrestling was in Ontario and Canada. Hulk Hogan came before he was Hulk Hogan. You know, famous Terry Bollea, Hulk or Hulk Bollea, whatever. Like he was not a big draw. It's like they brought him as main event, but nothing special. Didn't draw big crowds. Rick Flair used to come around. The Road Warriors, King Tonga, a bunch of guys, you know, from the indie and big names too. So I was watching them on TV on the weekends, and also there was some documentaries on TV. And Edward Carpentier had been a big star here, and also with cables of. Capable of getting the Stampede on the cable sometimes, you know, during the nights. So I was watching the Chris Benoit, Bruce Hart, and the some of the names, the Singh, Makhan Singh, and Gama Singh, and a bunch of guys from Stampede, the Bulldogs, which are originally from England, but they went and moved to Calgary. And then it just grew watching this. You know, I was getting ready for my hockey practices in the morning. I'd turn on the TV, it would be some replay or a documentary, and then I'd really get hooked up. You know, I'd really, like, almost miss my hockey practice because I wanted to watch the whole show. and I don't know, eventually it was like maybe 11, 12, and so my parents asked me what I wanted to be when I was going to get grown up. And I just, you know, I want to be a pro wrestler. I just thought it was going to be something that it's going to last, you know, all these young, that's going to last, you know, a few months and it's going to change. But it was there forever. Always been there. It stayed there. I was really attracted to it. I don't know, for different factors. I was attracted to it even before it was big on WWE. Even before the Hulkamania, I was attracted to it just by when it was all dark and smoky and you had just one light over the ring, and I was fascinated about it. I knew that's what I wanted to be when I was going to grow up and be a big boy. That's what I wanted to be.
Yeah, that's how I started watching wrestling. You know, I was like 8 years old, and I was just channel hopping one day, and I just saw these two guys talking and then just fighting. It just grabbed my attention. I've been hooked ever since. You know, we're based here in Maryland, right? On the East Coast in Baltimore, and
yeah.
So it was WWE was really big. And then the NWA came up, you know, like during, like, the 80s, mid-80s. and then everything else came. The AWA came, and then other wrestling promotions came. But yeah, I'm addicted to wrestling too. You know, I love it. I will be a fan till the day I die. Nothing will take me away from wrestling. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, that's so special. There's so many reasons why we love it or would like it. It's just, there's nothing like that. It's something unfolding in front of your eye. It's nice creation, you know. It's mm-hmm. created, you know. It's something that you create, and then it's something that you live also, you know. It's not pre-tape. It's not you go up there and it's
right.
with lights, you know. So
mm-hmm.
When sometimes I can go back home and think about this, it's so unbelievable, you know. It's like we don't realize sometimes because we take everything for granted. We don't even realize sometimes that, you know, it's a bunch of people, you know, a crowd, and that they all are creating a moment, and
mm-hmm.
it's pretty insane just to think about that, because that whole thing just started from someone's idea, and it's basically starting from a blank page, and then you got a book at the end of the night, you know. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Also, I noticed that y'all put on the best six-man matches with the Kingdom. And what's your thoughts on the whole group of Kingdom, basically?
For one thing for sure, Matt Taven is a super talented guy. I see him go on every night, you know, performing like crazy. You know, he's he's good on the mic. He's good on the ring, well-rounded athlete. You know, can mix it up with any style and wrestling. Can wrestle, can ball, can basically, you know, if he wrestles like Jeff Cobb, he can adapt to Jeff Cobb. If he wrestles Askins, he can adapt to Askins. Can adapt to my style, to any style. So very versatile. And very charismatic and very good on the phone, on the mic. And I think TK and Vinny, they're growing each and every day, and they're becoming like really like better and better night after night. I think it's a faction that is very solid right now, but I have the feeling that they are going to gonna impress and get better as time go on. Yeah, they're gonna be very surprising, I think. They got a lot of skills, and right now I feel like they're still working on some of their stuff, you know, that they know that they've got the talent. They just need a little bit more communications, or just something is about to emerge them and then make them like even bigger stars than they are right now.
Yes, definitely. They very good talent, definitely. And Matt Taven has he can go far in his business.
For sure. For sure, definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
He's got all the tools to go very far.
Right.
He's already a world champion in ROH, so yeah. I mean, he can have a longer reign, and he can also have multiple reign, and it could be like another kind of version of the Triple H one. Multiple champion, another Ric Flair, multiple champions, you know, like winning the title so many times because just that type of guy. He just reminds me of someone like Triple H or Ric Flair or those guys that they're always there in the world championship picture. Yeah, just that's how I think of him.
Yes. And what's your thoughts of Delirious Hunter Johnson behind the scenes also?
Hunter Johnson?
Delirious, yes.
Delirious. Yeah, I mean, I don't see him that much. He's really, really busy. He's running up and down and left and right, and he's got so much on his plate that I don't see him that much. He's a very busy man. I think he's I don't know, he's probably working 100 hours per week. I don't know. It's just a machine. You know, a lot of respect for him for everything he's doing. I mean, it's a machine. It's crazy. Yeah. I just think he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, see. Definitely a good job. Definitely, very good booker.
Yeah.
Yes. Would you like to plug any upcoming appearances or any Ring of Honor upcoming shows for the listeners out there?
Well, I don't. I think the next Friday. We're in Detroit, and then Saturday we're in Chicago, and on the 9th, 6, 7, 8, yeah, on the 8th, we're in Milwaukee, Ring of Honor. So every show, I meet people, meet and greets, or after shows, or before shows. They're new fans. It's their first time attending an event. And each and every time, every Ring of Honor show that I've been on the last year or so, I always see those fans coming out of the building with a huge smile on their face. And I think Ring of Honor is like a different product. It's a hell of a energy floating around. It's very positive. It's very dynamic. And I think you do yourself a favor, and you, as if you're a wrestling fan that respects himself, you have to go out and witness live a Ring of Honor show, that's for sure. I'm telling you, you won't forget it. You won't believe what you're seeing. You got to be there live. and somebody else and somebody crazy.
Yes, they. It's definitely amazing to watch them live. Basically, even doing their television tapings, also so amazing. Basically, and diehard fans. They stayed throughout throughout the whole show from beginning and end, basically, and it's like. They so wild up basically for the energy and also the work ethic of the other Ring of Honor wrestlers and stuff.
And also, one of the big points is the fact that even their our longest show is not going to be more than 4 hours. You know, that's a TV taping. If it's a pay per view, it's going to be 2.5-3 hours. Top. So it's not like, you know, if you're going to watch a 12-hour show and an 8-hour show, you know, you're at one point or another, you're going to disconnect, you know, because now with the phones and, you know, you have to go to the toilet and come back because, you know, it's too long. You lose interest. You start talking to your friend besides you and then. But when the show is like super energetic, there's a lot of action, there's a lot of drama going on, and it's between 3 and 4 hours. You know, 4 hours for TV taping, it's excellent. You know, it's great. And 3 hours is the perfect length for the time of the show. So I think Ring of Honor is really doing a super great job and to delight their fans. And, I encourage everyone to go on Honor Club and watch every pay-per-view. It doesn't cost you a lot to become a member of Honor Club, and then you have discounts on live events and things like that, and you have access to every show they stream by pay-per-view, so you have the access to that. And I encourage everyone. It's a great product. We're offering it. Tremendous services. So, I really encourage everyone to up on that, you know, Honor Club or live experience. It's really impressive.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. Subscribe to Honor Club, and it's worth it. So much content of all the Ring of Honor shows and archives, it's worth it. It's an honor, PCO, to be on for Wrestling Effect, the radio. You can come back anytime to the show.
It's my pleasure. It's really cool to, you know, share, you know, everything that I'm going through with my wrestling career and with the wrestling fans in the wrestling world right now. And I really appreciate the opportunity to have me on the air with you guys. And hey, anytime for me, you know, it's fun. It's very, I appreciate it. And I'll see you soon.
Awesome. You all right? You definitely have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was PCO, a villain and a prize. Ring of Honor, best wrestling faction in wrestling. And if you want this episode, it's right up at blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingInFactorRadio or Facebook fan page at Wrestling Effector Radio. /It Factor Entertainment Radio, or you can check it out at Stetcher.com. For Wayne Benitez and Tommy Two Chips, signing off. Later.